podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
We do odd things on this show. This is a little bit of a different show. So if I'm going to Disney World next week, we talk about Disney World. We talk about it with you and things like that. We do odd things. Management scratches their head, but they're like, somehow his show has managed to stay on the air for now 14 years on national radio. I don't know how, but I guess it works.
Here's John Kincaid.
Yeah, I guess it works. To some level, it works, and we appreciate you making it work. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online and in real time? Rocket can. Thank you, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, for being a part of the John Kincaid Show and CBS Sports Radio for so long. I missed Chris Moore after me last week. Here on the network, and then I was pleased, though. Ken Carman, it was a special Sunday edition of the Ken Carman Show, so Ken did the double shot last week. I heard the compelling first segment, which I found very interesting, is where Ken said he couldn't get his dog to take a poop. Anthony, I said his dog wouldn't come in the house.
It was stuck outside as he began the program.
That's why I love Ken, is that, you know, sure, he could have researched a sports topic to just, you know, come right firing out of the gate with. But no, he went with the relatable story that every single person that's had a dog can understand. Sometimes the dog won't poop when you want it to poop. The talented Ken Carman, hear him every Saturday here on CBS Sports Radio. So Ken's not today. Chris Moore has obviously just gone on like a beach or something. Chris Moore is not behind me because Mike's on isn't on anymore after it.
That's
the
true.
The song with the jingle has went away.
But we have another individual from Cleveland, not Ken Carman, Anthony Lima.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. The Bean is on today right afterwards? I've heard Lima before. Excellent. Good. This is fun. Love hearing some different voices and love that everybody gets to listen on CBS Sports Radio. Remember that if your local affiliate cuts away at any time, you can listen on the radio.com app. And by the way, that lets you rewind so you can hear the entire show. So if you miss any of the glowing commentary from earlier on in the show, you can always listen to it later and be able to catch up on it later on. We absolutely love it when you do. You can listen on SiriusXM 206 also. Great way to be able to listen. Or CBSSportsRadio.com. You can do that too. So I really, really appreciate when you do that. Anthony, you brought up something before we get rolling here a little bit. The idea that I'm getting on a plane next Monday and we're talking about, we always look at the pilots. You always, when you're getting on a plane, and people out there, we don't need calls on this, but you can just, if you'd call in on a sports topic and you wanted to share it, you could. Do you eye up the pilot?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay, so do I. Now, it's strange, is that because you and I very much look at over the years, we look at things a lot, many times very, very differently.
Yeah, I'm a nervous flyer. I know you're not.
And I'm not.
You're very comfortable.
Not.
But
yes,
I'm nervous about it. So, yeah, I give them a once-over.
Okay, so what do
I'm
you
like,
think?
Why, I'm like, why is that? Is he yawning? Why did he just yawn? Does that mean, he's tired? Why is he tired?
Why do you think?
Did he get enough rest last night? Is he okay to fly this plane? Or maybe I might try to, smile at them as they're passing by, and maybe if he has an angry expression on his face, why is he angry? I'm not getting a little nervous.
I'm not going to give you the airline, but I once was getting on a plane and the pilot had a red Solo cup.
A red Solo cup?
Yes. I was getting on a plane and the pilot was drinking out of a red Solo cup.
Oh, jeez.
And I went, okay, I'm a little nervous about this flight. And he goes, here, take a sip. And I said, I'm not going to drink from your cup. And he goes, here, this is pre-COVID. He goes, take a sip. So I took a sip. The flight attendant makes homemade, apple cider. And it's apple cider that she makes homemade at, the holidays. and I was flying down to a Georgia-Florida game, and he goes, here, take a sip, just so you know I'm not drinking alcohol. So he made me take a sip of it. It was very good. It was very sweet, though. It was very sweet. But I was like, okay, thank you. But I'm like, okay, wait a minute, Red Solo cup. This is really, really. So what do you want when you walk in? What would give you the most comfortable look? The pilot's giving you the most comfortable look.
No, I just want them to look, you know, refreshed and walk
refreshed.
In. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. I want them to look like they had a good night's sleep. And
do you want a gray haired? Do you want a gray haired pilot?
That's a yes, yes. That's a very good point. See, yes. I want the experience. I want the experience.
You want the guy who has hair. Do you want the guy who has a great head of hair like mine?
But yeah,
like, where it's salt and pepper. So you know they've flown enough.
With some experience.
How about?
I have to admit, I will get a little nervous if he looks like he's just fresh out of pilot school.
Our last pilot, I guess, was Christmas time that we went on a flight, and I thought my wife and daughter were going to have to be hosed down.
Oh,
The pilot looked like something. If you were
very attractive,
If you were central casting a pilot,
Jimmy Garoppolo.
The guy had the shirt and the pants combo where I think if somebody dropped something in the aisle, they were going to rip. I mean, let's just be honest. He was wearing like a, I thought it was Spider-Man was working the flight. I'm like, what's going on here? But, yeah, the girls liked it though. So it was good. So I like the gray haired pilot. Give me the gray haired pilot.
Yeah. Someone I know has been doing this for a little bit.
If I have my choice. I want to know it's not your first week on the job. Hi, Mr. Kincaid. Welcome aboard. I'm going to ace this. I just got my license. That's when I puke. Oh, man. That's when I start to freak out. Hopefully, you'll be a part of the show this morning. Bill Bender will join us coming up talking college football. And the very uncertain, shaky times of college football. We'll discuss it with Bill Bender from the Sporting News coming up at 20 minutes past the hour. The supplemental draft. Do you know about it? Do you embrace it? Weeks ago, Carlos Medina, front office Los on Twitter, joined us discussing this. And it was weeks ago, and it really didn't seem, well, I guess when we talked about it the first time, it didn't seem as relevant as we believe it to be now. The supplemental draft, allowing players who weren't in the NFL draft at the time, so don't declare for the regular draft, can be in the supplemental draft. So that would give them another opportunity to get in there and get picked for an NFL team. Well, here's the problem. If the college football season is canceled, I mean, are you kidding me? It's going to be wild. It is going to be, it's honestly going to be the Wild West. We're going to see crazy movement in the world of sports. And that supplemental draft can begin to play a critical part in what's going on in the world of college football. Got to watch for it. Right now, there's no guarantee of a college football season. So do you think that Trevor Lawrence is sticking around? You think he's going to stick around? What if they cancel the college football season before the supplemental draft? Or what if they cancel the college football season and one of these players says, hey, you know what? I'm ready to make my move. I want to go to the NFL. This could end up being just a fantastic, I mean, really, a fantastic turn of events. Can you imagine this? Now, the NFL's canceled the supplemental draft for this year. Anthony, is that because they're going to put everybody into the regular draft? Everyone will go to the regular draft for this.
That would be something, huh?
So, can you, right now, how about this one for you? What do you get Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields in this year's draft? How does that change things up? Who's the worst team in the NFL this year? Is it a team that already drafted a quarterback? Could Carolina be sitting there saying, wait a minute, we got a chance to get Trevor Lawrence as the quarterback of our franchise moving forward?
It'll be interesting to see what happens with college football. If they ever moved college football to the spring, then you wonder how that will affect college football because of being so close to the NFL draft and the combine. You wonder how many guys that know that they're going to be drafted will then decide. You wonder if they're going to decide to sit out the college football season.
I don't think one of them will play. I don't think one of them will play. If anybody's going to be a first-round pick, they're not playing. It doesn't make any sense to them. Why would you play?
That absolutely doesn't make any sense at all. Can't have it. Can't have it. You cannot risk being injured. You cannot risk having this stuff go down like that. I'm still fascinated by the NFLPA, though, is going to try to tell the NFL owners, if you cancel the games, we still get paid full price for not playing. Very strange. 855-212-4CBS. If you want to get in with us, you can. 855-212-4CBS. I saw the Major League Baseball schedule come out this week. So I'm sure Anthony checked out the Mets schedule.
Of course.
In fact, Mets and Braves open up, right? Mets and Braves is the opening game.
Yes, they do. Citi Field.
At Citi Field.
It's going to be tough not being able to go. I'm glad baseball's back. It's going to be great to watch it on TV. It's going to be very difficult, however, not to be able to go in person to watch these games.
That's going to be horrible. How about for me, though? I have baseball that is it's literally going to be going on right outside my door. And I wonder about that. For those who haven't seen the setup that the Braves have in Atlanta, they have an entire entertainment complex right around the stadium that includes where people live. You got apartments. You have businesses that are here every day. Our studios, 680 The Fan, home of the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're right outside the gates of Truist Park. We're right there. I want to know how Major League Baseball is going to keep people away. They may not let them in the stadium to see the games, but Anthony has seen the entertainment complex and all the restaurants and the bars and everything. I don't know how Major League Baseball is going to keep them out. So you're going to have a game going on inside a stadium, and you could have hundreds and hundreds of fans right outside the gates, eating, drinking, watching. I don't know how they're going to do this yet in the era of social distancing. Everybody's being really, really good right now. And all the restaurants and bars and everything like that have done a really, really nice job of keeping things under control. I don't know how you do it, though, when there's a baseball game going on.
Oh, don't you think they're just going to limit the amount of people on game days that they're going to allow in that area?
Well, how do you do that, though? Because people can walk on to the property. People can park off-site and walk onto the property. People live on the property. I mean, I don't know how they're going to... I don't know how they're going to do it. As far, because this is going to be really, really interesting to watch how this thing is pulled off. And I'm not going to doubt that they can do it, though, but it just seems like it's going to be crazy. But with the Major League Baseball schedules, I didn't understand something. There are 60 games. So you get 30 home, 30 away. So I did the math and said, wait a minute here. Why wouldn't Major League Baseball have sent each team on 4 road trips? If we are concerned about travel, and I think everybody with any kind of half a brain is worried about travel and the dangers that someone could have to contract COVID traveling. So why didn't every Major League Baseball team just take 4 road trips? Make it 4 road trips. Don't make it where teams are traveling like twice. The Atlanta Braves go twice to Philadelphia. Why? It doesn't make any sense. If you're so worried about travel and you're worried about transmitting a virus, you can't have someone making unnecessary road trips and numerous road trips. It doesn't make any sense. You've got the opportunity to say, okay, team like the Braves, they're playing the Mets and the Yankees. They're playing the Mets and the Yankees. Play 5 at the Mets, play 2 at the Yankees. There's a 7-game road trip. That's one of your road trips. They're playing the Orioles and the Nationals. Play 5 games with the Nats, play 2 with the Orioles. There's your 7-game road trip. Then go to, let's say they're going to Florida. They play the Florida Marlins and Miami Marlins, I guess, and the Tampa Rays. That's another 7-game road trip. And the last road trip, you could put Philly, Boston, Toronto. It makes perfect sense. Why would you have the team going out on these numerous road trips instead of when every Major League Baseball team could have done 4? I got to think that's safer. Now, I do not know more than the medical experts of the world of Major League Baseball or otherwise. But what I can understand is less road trips, less risk. I don't need a medical degree to know that. Safer. The less you're traveling, the less you're leaving your controlled areas, the better.
But Major League Baseball managed to just complicate something that I don't think needed to be complicated. The world of college football, a lot of conflicting messages. What do? I lean on guys like Bill Bender, who's absolutely amazing. Check out Bill Bender coming with me next from the Sporting News as we discuss the upcoming college football season. Yes, maybe a conference-only season. Some teams may be sitting out. We'll get the skinny from Bill next. It's the John Kincaid Show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
The show never stops on Twitter. Follow along at John Kincaid.
Fairmount Park. Do you know why I'm saying Fairmount Park, Anthony? Did you ever see the video to this song? The music video?
It's been a long time.
But you've seen it.
I have seen it.
Filmed in Fairmount Park in Philadelphia. Will and I believe I've done the exact mileage to Will's childhood home. I believe we're 6.7 miles apart. And I know this, it's only two right turns to get to Will Smith's house from my house. And no, there's no entanglements involved. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. Appreciate you being a part of things. We get lots of entanglements on this show. None of them are crazy like that, though. No crazy entanglements like that. We are entangled with some of the best sports minds out there and great reads and great follows. The Sporting News' Bill Bender joins us on the John Kincaid Show, where we get closer and closer to what is supposed to be a college football season. We see now when the Big Ten makes its move to go conference only. Bill, I'm trying to figure out, first of all, do you, from your sources, is it true that there were people within the Big Ten who were caught off guard by the announcement?
Not that I know of. I just think that, in general, I've seen that being thrown around, though. My opinion is that, other than coming out first and not being unified with the other conferences, I don't think it's the worst move. Because with the numbers that we have in the current state we're in, if you tack on 6 weeks as a preparation period, I mean, getting started in October makes sense, and then playing conference only makes sense. I guess the next part is, how do you get all five conferences to do the same thing? And in this sport, as you know, John, that's not easy to do with anything, let alone a pandemic.
No, I mean, it's very – I was just surprised the Big Ten jumped first. Because honestly, if you're deciding it, like I'm trying to figure out, is Ohio State better off going to play Rutgers in New Jersey than playing Bowling Green? I mean, is it like there wasn't thought, I think a lot of thought put into this before announcements were made. Is Georgia, let's say in the SEC, if they went conference only, is Georgia better off traveling to Missouri to play than playing Georgia Tech, who can drive up 85 and be there in an hour? I don't know where the thought went into this.
Yeah, well, I think keeping the sport hyper-regionalized is a good idea. But I say that, and then with the Big Ten, you know, I guess the longest trip you could have would be, what,
Nebraska? Nebraska to Rutgers, right?
Yeah, we're not doing that. That's not making sense from that standpoint. But, I mean, the biggest hang-up with the ACC and the SEC, otherwise I think they would be good to go too, is those games that you kind of just touched on, Georgia Tech.
South Carolina, Clemson.
Yep, Florida State.
I mean, they make no sense not to play those games because those would be the least travel and the safest. I would think it would be the safest to not leave your environment.
Right, and I think that's why if the ACC and ACC – the ACC and the SEC can pull this off and work together. Why not do an 8-game conference schedule and then play that one game outside it?
Makes sense.
I mean, because I just can't picture a season without Florida State. That's tough to do.
Okay, when you heard Jim Harbaugh this week, Jim Harbaugh was obviously very much a believer before this announcement was made, and I wondered when Jim Harbaugh came so strongly out of, yeah, we should play. I feel safe. I feel like our players are safe here. We should be able to do this. And then I believe it was the very next day that this came down. Are all the coaches, you believe, on board?
I mean, we'll see. I think most of the coaches are bound in what they can say by the states they live in. And I just know that from experience with living here in Ohio. Ryan Day hasn't really said a ton. And Governor DeWine here in Ohio has been, in my opinion, one of the better leaders throughout this whole process. Michigan, they have different numbers. And that's the one thing when you're dealing with this virus, John, I think I put that stat in there. I think seven of the Big Ten programs are in states that had the top six or seven numbers. The SEC,
correct.
You'd see similar things. So,
like the SEC, as I was pointing out last night very kindly to Darren Revelle, very kindly, I'm putting that in quotations, the SEC, only one state in that is in SEC country is in the top 13 in deaths. I mean, they've done a pretty good job of this. People are like, well, the positive tests. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Nobody's reporting the large percentage of asymptomatic. Nobody's reporting the fact that the death numbers, again, in a 2-week period are down, like in a state like Georgia, where the positive tests are up. I mean, I just think there's a lot of misinformation that is being put amongst the opinion.
Well, and I think when you deal with COVID, there's a lot of subjective statistics. I think people will make the statistics work in their favor no matter what, right? So,
well, to me, the number one statistic has to be death. It's got to be, because that's what we're all afraid of. That's what we're all concerned about. My 91-year-old mom doesn't want to stay in anymore. And she's decided she wants to be able to get on with her life, despite everyone telling her you're not allowed to. She's like, guess what? I want to be able to go to a store. I want to be able to go get my hair done. I want to be able to get my nails done. I always think that's the number we got to start with, is who's doing the best job of protecting their citizens, or am I off on that?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I have the same, my mother had a triple bypass and all of those things, and has very similar, although maybe not as old, obviously in the same risk factor category as far as that goes. But yeah, I think you start with deaths and then hospitalizations, because that was the big concern.
You don't want to overrun. Yep.
Yeah, overwhelming the system. Now is this country prepared for that and willing to move forward? But as far as all that pertains to football, I think those two things, and when you're dealing with the student athletes and the testing, I just worry, John, that the second we have a student athlete on a ventilator, how much publicity that would get. And how risky that is to put an athlete in there. I mean, I've seen schools shut down in the past week. You know that there's a lot of positive tests out there. So what are we really getting into in terms of with these student athletes? I mean, how many does it take, John? To me, it's one. That once there's one on a ventilator, they would shut the whole thing down.
So you'd be like, that's the one that would bring it down. I mean, I've heard this argument made the other day, and I didn't agree with it. Is somebody was saying, do we put, when one kid is carted off the field and almost paralyzed, do we shut down college football? I'm like, okay, the paralysis danger does not transfer to three other members of his team. Though I understand the sentiment of the danger,
right.
I don't. He doesn't transfer that danger to three other members of his team or more. So I don't think that's a valid one.
No, not at all. And I think the one thing I've always said, and I do it kind of in jest, is how do we social distance tackling, right? How do we prevent that?
I think Rutgers has done a great job of that. I've watched Rutgers football. They're like the best in the Big Ten at that. I think Connecticut in the American Athletic Conference, they're awesome at it.
I mean, those kind of things are, you know, I told the NFL story about how they're going to limit interactions after the game. Well, I mean, this is the thing that I kind of shake my head at, because I was like, they're going to be pretty up close and personal for 3 hours. There's a lot that goes on a football field, and nobody wants this to happen more than me. And that's why I think the next 5 to 6 weeks are very important. I kind of, there's nothing to this, but I just kind of look at August 15th as kind of a line for me in some ways, because you need that 6-week prep period. If the country's in a state where the numbers are down by August 15th, did we get those 6 weeks in? I think if you can start the college football season on October 3rd, regardless of if it's conference only or
that'd be 9 weeks. That would give you 9 weeks leading to December.
That's
nine
enough
Saturdays.
To figure out who the four best teams is,
yes.
Isn't it, John?
I would agree.
Yeah.
And the way I'm looking at it is, if they play conference only schedules, then I believe you're going to see. I don't think there's a need for a college football playoff committee. I think you find the nine. To me, you're finding the four best conference champions this year. It would just be the four best conference. If there's no interconference play, I would, you know, or out of conference play, I should say crossovers. We should just say, You know, Pac-12 usually never gets there anyway, but it's more like who's the best Big 12, who's the best Big 10, ACC, SEC, and let's have a playoff.
For sure. And we need those conference championship games if possible, because I was looking at this over the week. 1992 was the last season, where we had, that was the first time we had a conference championship game in the Power
right.
Five. The year before that was the 91. We didn't have any conference championships among the Power Five conferences. And it was a split national title with Miami and Washington. So
sure.
I hope that they can find a way to legitimize it. I think we can. I think the drawback is, yeah, we lost a lot of good non-conference games, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Oregon, Ohio State. We may lose more as we go along. We may lose some rivalries this year. But if you can at least get 8 to 9 games in, you can legitimize the season with that. Baseball's doing the same thing.
I've been following your work on this story very, very carefully. And what I really enjoy is that you give people what you're hearing. You give people the true sort of feel around college football. But you still sound encouraged. You still sound optimistic that something can be done if things, you know, are handled the right way. And I wonder why so many in the sports media can't embrace that. The idea of give someone some positivity, give someone some look. It's not sunshine and lollipops. Things got to be done and things got to get better, but you can still have this.
Well, I mean, we've been able to do that in Central Ohio. I mean, it's little things for us has been we've been able to do youth baseball. And,
right.
and we've been able to figure out ways to social distance 9-year-olds in a dugout. That's not easy. So
no.
To me, it's just trying to stay positive and having something to look forward to. And I know what the numbers are, and I know that the likelihood of college football in a lot of ways is going to be a stretch. But, again, this is July. Things have turned a lot of different ways over the last few months. But I
yes.
wonder if we can finally push through this spike here, get to August, have the numbers down, maybe we have a chance.
Good job. Bill Bender is one of the best in college football, and I look forward to catching up with you, buddy. Take care, man.
Hey, no problem, John. Thanks for having me on.
Uncomfortable radio? It happens from time to time here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And I appreciate you finding the show as often as you do. Tell your family, tell your friends. And again, if your local radio station skips out, they're just trying to make money and they can do that. And we give them our full approval. Just come back with us as often as possible. If you want to stay with us, you go to the radio.com app where you can also rewind the show and listen from the beginning if you miss something else. Gives you an opportunity to do that. We appreciate them. SiriusXM 206, too. Other ways that you can listen to the John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of things I'm going to get to here, but I wanted to get to Larry in South Bend on Notre Dame. Larry, Notre Dame is without a home, right? I mean, really, what? Honestly.
Yeah. Everybody keeps bailing on them. They're not going to play any Big Ten games. They're not going to play any Pac-10 schools.
Wait a minute. Nobody's bailing on Notre Dame. Notre Dame just thinks that they're better than everybody else and doesn't have to pick a side. Now, if I'm the ACC, which is where they're supposedly going to be welcomed in to play their games, I'm demanding they become a full conference member.
Well,
you're out.
I don't want to get political. I don't care whose fault it is, but they're only going to be left with like 5 games.
I would say to them flat out, you're going to be in the ACC. You want to be in the ACC? You're going to be in the ACC. And I would right now, you've got them over a barrel, because if it's only conference only game, they're going to be screwed. Honestly, they're in big trouble.
Hey, I've got 3 other quick points here for you.
Sure.
And then Belinda Carlisle. And you can
yes.
look this up. You can look this up on Wikipedia. She was
Wikipedia is not a source now. Come on now.
Well, you can look it up somewhere, but I think
okay.
it's pretty factual. She was like the first, and I'm paraphrasing here, the first woman in California to play either on a boys' varsity basketball team, or she was the first woman to do something in the state of California with basketball. So she
really?
Must have been a pretty good athlete.
She
yeah.
must have been. Yes.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Next point, real quick.
Okay.
South Korea and Taiwan All the folks there wear masks, and they've been playing baseball since May.
Yes, they have been. And you know what's too is now they don't have to wear masks on the field. They just have to.
Talking about their population.
No, but I've been watching. I've been watching some of that. By the way, does that baseball interest you at all when it's on? It doesn't me.
It's still the same game, you know.
Yeah, but it doesn't interest me at all because I don't know anybody. It's like I don't know. It just seeing people play the sport, I've realized doesn't do it for me. I need to know.
Well, yeah, I usually watch a couple innings or something.
It's right.
And then the last thing is, if people are looking, you're a very positive guy, and everybody appreciates that. And so if you're looking for something positive to do in your community, go give blood. My wife We've given blood twice, and the last time we went, it was pretty cool because they gave us $20 for a hacienda. They gave us $20. These are gift certificates. $20 for a local pizza place.
Really?
Then we got $20 worth of free ice cream.
Are you kidding me? Like, just for giving blood?
Yeah, it was like a, you know.
Okay, that's awesome.
You're in and out in like an hour. Hey, we love you. Have fun in Vegas. And,
thank you, buddy. Well, I'll be here next week, so I'll go next Monday morning. So that's awesome. Thank you very much for that. That's a great idea. Good job. That's a great idea of something you can do positive in your community. And that's to give blood. And honestly, when you think about it, how many people, I do not know for a fact that there are shortages, but there usually are shortages from time to time. There are going to be times where they need everybody to step up. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Free ice cream too, Anthony. How about that?
Love ice cream.
See, I know you're an ice cream guy.
Chocolate chip mint is my favorite.
Is it really?
Love chocolate chip mint.
Do you know who else?
Who else?
Their favorite is chocolate chip mint.
Jack?
Nope. President Obama.
Did not know that.
That is his favorite, like, sweet tooth indulgence. Mint chocolate chip ice cream. How about that? Just like you. Now, does it have to be green or can it be white?
No, I want the green.
So you want the green?
Yeah.
You want to be fooled into thinking that it's mint. You have to see it because it's mint. You know what I've gotten into? I probably have ice cream maybe once a month, maybe, because I'm just not a big fan, but my daughter likes it. So
what?
Sea salt caramel. Have you ever had it?
No, I have not. Never had sea salt caramel.
Okay, it could change your life.
That could change your life.
Yes.
Any particular brand?
No. We have a thing called Brewster's in Atlanta, which is just like, you know, you find a place that makes homemade ice cream. The sea salt caramel is just, it's life-changing.
You know what I get? I get throat freeze. I don't get head freeze. Have you ever heard
what?
Of that? I get throat freeze.
Throat freeze?
Yes.
This is a new condition.
Well, you've heard of head freeze, no?
Okay.
When people eat ice cream or something
and you
cold?
And you know how to cure head freeze, right?
Some warm water?
No. When you have do you get brain freeze from a beverage or ice cream?
I never get brain freeze. I get throat freeze.
Okay, so when you have brain freeze, if you're having a beverage and you drink it too quick and you get the brain freeze, all you have to do is hold the cold beverage to your forehead. I'm serious.
Never heard of that before.
The more you know. I swear to you, it takes it away. Exactly. This is like a very special edition of Blossom.
I get throat freeze.
So you get throat freeze.
Yes,
now, what happens in throat freeze?
My throat is it freezes. It's ice.
Really?
It hurts. It's so, yeah.
It hurts?
Yes.
Okay, you might have to get this checked out.
Well, what's the difference between brain freeze and throat freeze?
I've never heard of throat freeze.
I would think it's
Dr. Fauci. I don't know. I mean,
think it's what you experience if you experience brain freeze, but I just get it in my
throat.
You
get throat freeze.
Yeah, instead of the head freeze. I've never gotten head freeze when I eat something cold like ice cream, or I get it a lot when I go to Wendy's. I get the chocolate frosty.
You get the frosty.
I get a chocolate frosty from Wendy's.
That's unbelievable. That's good to hear. It's good to hear. So you guys, you have Wendy's open there. Wendy's are open there and doing well. That's good. That is good. That is good. Good stuff. Okay. So many things I got to get to before the end of this show. I look at things that I have planned to talk about, and I just want to make sure that I can get to them. I told you earlier, no 60-game season that Major League Baseball is going to play this year can be compared to any other. because I've heard this on Sports Talk Radio. Well, let's look and see what's the record of 60 games through 60 games. What's the record of teams so then we can compare it to this year so we know what to expect. That very well, at random, may end up being what you can do. You can look and you can say, hey, 60-game records from other years ends up translating. I don't believe it's going to be the case, though. And here's why I'm going to tell you that. During a normal, and this is because I'm a total dork, and I self-admitted, in a normal Major League Baseball season, in your first 60 games, the average team plays less than four games in an average year in an interleague situation. So, on average, you play less than four games against a team from the other league. This year, you will play one-third of your games, 20 of your first 60, against teams from the other league. So that should drastically affect numbers. That should change numbers. That's a totally different dynamic. But there's more. In a normal year, 40%, more than 40% actually, 41% of your games in an average season are played out of your division. I'd like to thank Baseball Prospectus and USA Today and others for some of these numbers. Your average year, first 60 games, your team is going to play 41% of its games outside of its division and outside of interleague games. So you're going to play if you're in the National League East, you're the New York Mets, Anthony Piano's favorite team. At Tony Piano on Twitter. You would play the National League Central and you play the National League West, and that would make up 40% of your schedule. But you're not going to do that this year. This year you're playing an entirely different schedule. So things change. Things change. There's a little bit of a difference in your numbers. So anything that we think we know is going to be different. Mike in Pompeii, Florida. Mike, where's Pompeii?
So Pompeii is actually about an hour south of Orlando.
Oh, wait a minute. You said Pompeii.
Pompeii, yes.
Do you know what Anthony typed to me? Pompeii. I thought you were like digging out of lava or something. What? Yo, Pierno, what's going on? Pompeii. But you thought he was like digging out of a volcano or what? Okay. I go to Palm Coast, Florida for vacation on the beach. So there you go.
Yeah, I just had a quick thought. And by the way, the sea salt caramel has changed my life. Like, that's like my go-to. Like, for a while, I was just trying out everything, and now that's like my go-to every time.
Oh, it's so good. It is really good.
But yeah, I just had a quick thought, just, you know, while we're in the baseball conversation here.
Sure.
So do you know if there was ever consideration or if there wasn't, what's your thought on, like, with the one-year situation the way it is right now, do you know if there's ever consideration into, like, a one-year realignment instead? It just seems silly, like, you have Toronto going to Miami and to Tampa this year when they could have gone to like Milwaukee or to Detroit or something instead.
This is where
done a 1 year.
Yeah, this is where I wonder is that, and I'll tell you, the NHL rarely comes up with a better idea than other sports. The NHL is usually the one that's sort of backwards. I actually think they had the best idea by deciding to finish out their season, making it a tournament. A 24-team Stanley Cup tournament where you're going to have teams getting eliminated along, able to get into the playoffs. And I mean, I liked that idea a lot. I think the NBA's idea is a little more corny. And I think it was all about just getting Zion back. I really think that's sort of what they wanted to do. But I would have gone for something like that. If you're going to have 2020 be a crapshoot, make it be something that's totally unique and totally different.
Yeah, I agree. It just seemed like it would be. Would be good, and someone here, like with Pompeii, we had, you know, had the Vero Beach, like for spring training, we had the Vero Beach Dodgers, we had the Washington Nationals played here in Vieira, and then we had, you know, also in Orlando, we had the Braves and the Astros and stuff, and so because the scheduling for the spring training was kind of all over the place too, like, you know, they have 2 days at home, 2 days on the road, and so the teams are complaining that it was never a financial issue, like the stadiums on the East Coast of Florida always did well. Financially, sure. It was the travel issue, and it just seemed like your suggestion earlier, you know, what the, you know, they could have done four road
makes
trips
sense, right?
What they did. They could have, you know, alleviated as many back and forth 3 hour bus trips if they, you know, so, but yeah, definitely on board with Lisa.
Now, wait a minute, you're in Pompeii, so I'm trying to figure this out. Did you watch that Jeffrey Epstein video, documentary?
No, I did not actually.
Oh my gosh. Now that's Palm. Now that's not Palm Bay. That's where Jeffrey Epstein was. That's I can't remember. I'm telling you, don't watch it. Don't watch it if you don't, if you want to be unnerved. Creepy.
Yeah,
creepy,
I think
creepy.
I was in the hard path.
There you go, man.
Palm Bay was about like say about 20 minutes south of where the Nationals played in Vieira Space Stadium. And
there you go.
That area. Yeah.
Thank you very much, and thanks for listening this morning. Gotta love it. See Anthony, another vote for Sea Salt Caramel. And as Shaq and I just had a debate on the podcast a few weeks ago, it's not caramel. It's caramel.
Caramel.
Yes, it's caramel. But he says caramel. I'm like, where's the silent A come into this? I mean, come on. He thinks he can just invent words. All right, we got a lot coming up in the final hour of the show. Hopefully your local affiliate's sticking with us. But if they're not, you can find us. So this legend of sports radio deserved... Yeah, say it, John. Deserved a much better exit. Plus, the worries about sports coming back, they're well-founded. It's the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do one.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.